that keeps you coming back. And I'll tell you something about college football. It's such a special thing, the connection between the fan, the player, the fan. Where I was, people were crying at our watch party when he made that sack, but we could not see the stuff in the periphery that you guys saw, that you witnessed. And, man, you telling me that story, and I want you to know this, gave me chills just now. Gave me chills.
It gives me chills still thinking about it. And just having him up leading the band with Dobbs, it was something. It was something that'll go down. It's something you can't see on the TV. Barnett, just, he's all vol, man. He's all vol. We're blessed to have had him. It was a great event. I mean, hats off to the fans that were there. Nebraska, everyone was treated with a lot of respect. Everything.
Awesome.
I saw a video on Facebook, which of a fight broke out. Knew nothing about it. Everyone, Nebraska people say, hey, we're coming back to Nashville. Come back to Tennessee. This is great. We'd love to play y'all again. Win, lose, or draw. Y'all are a great fan base.
Who got in a fight? Did a Tennessee fan fight a Tennessee fan?
Tennessee fans got into it in the upper deck, it looked like.
Two Tennessee fans?
There's some video for
I love that.
Yeah. Nice stadium fight.
Hey, look, you know those Nebraska fans are probably like, those damn rednecks are crazy. I love stuff like that.
Broke them off a little 1-2.
You gotta have a fight, man.
Gave him a two-piece and a biscuit.
You gotta have one or two there.
Hey, let me tell you, where I grew up in Philly, this is no joke. The Phillies and the Pirates would play, and they're in that old Vet Stadium in Philadelphia. Go on YouTube and look up Vet Stadium. It's just this nasty concrete jungle. It's the nastiest looking thing you've ever seen. I remember as a kid watching drunks fight and roll down the steps from the 700 level and bump up against the railing like they were going to roll off the second deck of the stadium. I mean, you got to have a fight. You got to have some fight in you.
And if Nebraska wants to step in and fight, we'll fight ourselves.
Exactly, because those Nebraska people are too nice. Let me tell you, those Midwestern people, having spent ample time there, are some of the kindest, sweetest. Like, people tell me that, and I didn't go, to the Orange Bowl and then the Fiesta Bowl. Both times they killed us. You're around a bunch of people that make you feel great. You've never felt so good getting the hell beaten out of you. It's like, you know your team, you'll have a great year next year. We love your tradition. Thank you for being there. Thank you for being a great opponent. But you know what? I'm really glad you shared that story with us. Thank you, man.
First time calling, man. I appreciate it. Love what y'all are doing.
Oh, thank you.
It's amazing. It's a great drive home. It's made my drive. I drove from Nashville back to East Tennessee up to Johnson City. You made the drive bearable. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for all you do, man.
Hey, praise God, man. Thank you. Happy New Year to you.
You don't get that kind of civility in the stands and these SEC rivals. You know?
There's no question.
You got out of Florida.
Hey, we'll
hammered.
Show you how to fight.
You guys suck. By the way, I'm going to pour some urine on you now.
Right. We're going to throw feces
on
you.
Enjoy your trip home.
Jerry, a good fight every
civilized.
Once in a while. Do they fight in Seattle, Jerry, where you live, or is it just so pacifist out there that there's just no fighting? No fighting, like everything's a safe zone.
Hate speech.
What has happened to these damn people? Men be men. I'll crack your head open, man.
Yeah, there's some video. It's on a bar stool. There's some serious microaggressions in Nissan Stadium today.
That's pretty cool. Let's go to the phones. As long as it's Vol fan on Vol fan violence.
Everything's a safe zone.
Guy threw the punch zone. Looked like Hacksaw Jim Duggan, too.
See, I like those people. Generally.
Didn't have a 2x4, though.
Generally, if it's 43 degrees... and you are a full bearded with a wife beater and over 250, I'm staying away from you. Back to the phones we go. Suspenders are nice. A wife beater adds to it, and I'm staying away from you. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
What's up, Tony?
Hey.
Jerry's still on here. PTR, what's up?
Yeah, he sure is, man. Go right ahead.
How you doing? Hey, I'm doing fine. Pleasure talking to you. Tony, thank you again. I left the media room, got out of the car. Turn you guys on, and the first thing out of your mouth that I heard, I don't know how far the show it was at that point, was when you were talking about, I sat there in the halfway through the third and fourth quarter just shooting Barnett.
Right.
Great shots. He's almost hits, almost hits. I've got a picture of him with his arm around the quarterback, and the guy got, you know, five Barney did or whatever. It was incredible. But when you made your line of bats, Jesus, tell more times than you were as a baby. Oh, God. That made fighting that national traffic almost unbearable.
It's a truth. I'm the youngest of six kids. My mom was over it. That's why I'm so needy. Look, why would you, in your, through your lens, did you get some shots of him getting held, like his jersey getting stretched?
I'm sure I do, because I shot on him so much.
Yeah, you're the best.
Well, you're very kind. It was a weird game, and I don't think I got but one good picture of one of our touchdowns, which I think was a good sign, like we were calling plays that I wasn't expecting. So I was in the wrong
place. That's funny. Who would have thought they would have gone up top to three there? I mean, they threw the damn bomb. It looked like what are you doing, guys? I didn't know we were allowed to do this.
Well, what pissed me off, I was just moving from one end of the field to the other when Malone did his high step in, and I think I've got a shot and catch the pass, but I was still laughing because I was moving. And all my shots of him doing that high step, which I'm surprised he didn't get flagged for, were blurry. I was heartbroken over that. But yeah, I don't know what it looked like on TV. They're live. I felt like it was 75-25, almost 80-20. What did it look like on TV? On the fan breakdown.
From my vantage point, it looked like a pretty dominant orange clad crowd. Yeah, I'd say 75-80% Tennessee fans.
Yeah, and probably you couldn't see it. The only place they dominated was the lower deck on the Nebraska side of the field, which I assume that's where the cameras are, aren't they? Were the cameras showing the UT bench the whole game?
I didn't notice, Jerry. It just seemed like a lot of orange every time I caught a glimpse of the stands.
Yeah, well, anyway, I just want to say, go ahead.
Yeah, but that was the point I made when I first came on. I think that Nebraska side, the lower deck, that thing was pretty much all red, which really surprised me. I'm going, wow, that was a lot more red than what I thought I would see for a, you know, what is a makeshift Tennessee home game.
Well, that was the only section they held on to. They were nice folks. I will say that everybody that I ran into were very polite, very kind. Like I said, I had a weird feel for it, but, you know, games are always weird away from nailing to me, but I did want to tell this one thing before I go. You know, I've been to the last three bowl games, and they give you, you know, your media credentials with these really cool lanyards, Tax Slayer Bowl, Outback Bowl. Our VC Bowl came with a piece of white stretchy string tied around it, and I'm not kidding.
Hey, you got a splurge. Hey, let me ask you, Hobie, plug your photog business and what you do, because you're really tremendous. And you did a tremendous thing for us with the kids this year when you shot that event that we had with Amachi Knoxville. We're going to be doing a basketball event with them coming up in the wintertime, to take a bunch of kids who have parents that are in prison to their first basketball game they've ever been to. What a blessing that is. And you were a big part of that. Go right ahead and plug what you do.
I don't need to do that, Tony. I will say
I
this.
Want you to do that. Please do that.
Give me a second. One of my biggest surprises is, I don't know if you know a gentleman, Kelly Clevenger. He's one of the mentors for one of the kids. And he's one of my clients. He's a realtor here in Knoxville, does a very successful job. Good man. And I was like shocked. I thought, he's like, what are you doing here? I'm like, what are you doing here? And he introduced me to his two kids. That's one of the shots I sent you. Go there with his kid and his brother, I think, in one of the pictures. Tall, blondish guy. That was a great thing you did. And, you know, you just do some really cool stuff. So it's fun to be a part of. So, yeah, let me know about the basketball thing.
Thanks,
man. Yeah, I don't know, Tony. I do a lot of commercial work, special events. Obviously, sports is a vast majority of my work. I'm available for almost everything. I don't do paternity, and I don't do babies, and I very seldom do weddings.
And that's what, thank you. Famous last words. We'll leave it there. Have a great day, my friend. Thank you.
Thank you, Tony. Have a great night, guys.
I'm speechless. 865-200-5402. That's right. We're going to do a thing with Amachi Knoxville. These kids have parents who are incarcerated. Some have two parents. One young man at that event told me, he said, he's 9 years old. Walk up to him. This is Mr. Basilia. I say, you call me Tony. and let's go throw some cornhole. We're throwing, you know, the beanbag or whatever. I'm no good at it. He's killing me. And I said, so tell me about yourself. You know, I just started playing football. My favorite subject in school is math. Just real nice young man. He says, a couple other things. I walk away from him. The lady from the program says, that kid you were just with, yeah? I was like, God, he's so precious. His dad's in jail. He's 30. Till he's 30. I went, it's unbelievable, Andy Mack. How about Michigan taking the lead in this game, Dobbsy? Can you freaking believe this? Michigan has taken the lead, Dobbsy. Dobbsy, they've taken the lead. They've scored too early, but they've taken the lead, and Jumbo Fisher sitting over there with his Mick Jagger puppy dog eyes. You ever notice how much he looks like Mick Jagger? Dobbsy, I'm reading a book on the Stones right now. The Sun, the Earth, the Moon, the Stars, and the Stones. It's really good. Dobbsy, how great of a win would this be? Jerry, you know what this proves when you see Michigan beat a Florida State? There's still a place for real football.
You can replace it. How many times have you had Coach on here? And he, to me, it's like this.
Jerry Glanville.
You can score 7 points. Yeah, Jerry Glanville.
Right.
You can score 7 points, but you also can score 7 points that hurt physically after you score those 7 points. And to me, I like to see teams still implement that type of element into their football game plan. Otherwise, it's just a track meet. And I kind of feel like that's what's happening down at schools like Texas A&M, almost to a point where it's happening a little bit at Tennessee. But when I'm telling you, I talked to Mike Holmgren when I first went to Seattle to coach. And one thing I realized after I've been there a couple months is like, these guys don't even play three wide receivers. When he was at Green Bay, when he was at San Francisco, the only time they brought out three wide receivers, Tony, was right before the end of a half or if they were trying to come back and win at the end of a game. They always played two wide receivers, one tight end, a fullback, and a halfback. That's it. And they threw for all those yards with Brett Favre, Sterling Sharp, and Jerry Rice, Joe Montana. They could care less about the number of attempts.
Jerry, it's football's football, but let me ask you something. Michigan scored to make it 28-27, okay? What do you do there?
Say that again.
It's 28-27 with 1:57 to play in the game. What do you do there? You just scored to take the lead. What do you do there?
You have to go for two.
Yeah, I mean, what sitting on a 1 point.
Yeah.
1 point lead.
I'm not gonna do that.
No.
Somebody just. It's late.
It was a
cheap attempt. I'm trying to get Jerry to laugh. The way you make Jerry laugh is to talk about his Big Berkey water filter, his Diamond Gusset jeans, or that iodine. What's the stuff called you're taking right now? The something shield. What's it called?
Mason iodine and liver shield.
the opposite of a liver shield. That's what I'm doing today.
Yeah.
It's the opposite of a liver shield.
I said, Dobbs, go get us a moose head. He goes, I'll get you a moose head. I've had 5 pints today. 5 pints. Back to the phone.
So spread it out.
So you know how much I weigh now?
How much you weigh, Jerry?
208 pounds. You know how much I played when I was my last year at UT? How much?
You were on steroids back then.
Wait, 216 pounds. Some awful steroids. I weigh 8 to 10 pounds less than when I did my last year at UT.
Did you feel better when you cycled? Did you feel better? Back to the phones we go, Scary. Next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, buddy.
Is this my man, Rojette?
Yeah. Hey, buddy.
Rojette, when we broke it down tonight at the listener watch party, your thoughts?
It was good. I had a lot of fun. I had a blast. You said it's the best all year. You're right. It was the best one tonight. It was loud tonight. Really a lot of fun tonight, Tony. I had a blast. It was really a lot of fun tonight. I remember the ticket one, so I had a lot of fun and had a blast, and the game was great, and it was fun to see Tennessee win, Tony, so it was great, Tony, tonight, Tony, to Tennessee win, so it was great to see that. Hey, to everybody else, how's everybody else? Hey, Russell, how you doing, buddy?
We're all great, Raj, we're all great. What'd you think about the game tonight?
It's good. It's great. It's good to see Butch Jones somewhere on the sideline, and it's good to see Dobbs throw a record tonight. So he, I'm gonna miss him in Tennessee, and I'm gonna miss that. So it was good to see him on a good note, and it's good to see you got the defense guy. It was good to see him to make a record tonight. He had a last game, so it was awesome to see that. His last game to see him do that, you know, make a record tonight, and it's so good to see Tennessee win tonight. Butch Jones, like I said, and Butch Jones and on the sideline, and Ted White, and all the seniors somewhere too, Dobbs, and you know, it's awesome to see all of them get a win, and how many of them, Tony, and all y'all, and Jerry too. Jerry, how many players on defense? I know that you have some good people are seniors. How many seniors are on the team that's leaving this year?
Well, seniors. You mean senior members of this class?
I mean, Russell,
Russell, the exact number of members of this class that were left, I want to say is nine, somewhere between 9 and 12, right? And then you also have the juniors that are leaving.
There's like 13 seniors.
That's what it is.
And like five of them are redshirt
fifth-year
guys.
So it's not a high number. Here's what's interesting. Tonight, there's already been a photos released of my man, Kamara, who did it the right way. Played in the game today. And then he signed with an agent after the game in his uniform, in his pads. He was still... Jerry, the guy still had his uniform on. How next level is that, in your opinion, Jerry Colquitt? Wow. How much do we love him? He tweeted out a picture. Herschel Walker to the USFL, this ain't, brah. This guy was tweeting out a picture. I love him.
Wow.
I'm telling you, Tony, that was...
Kamara.
In a way, I'm glad our game wasn't associated with this this overhyped bowl game stuff. I mean, it was two teams out there trying to win that doggone game. It wasn't... You know, overhyped. It wasn't over-glamored. It was just two teams out there playing with pride. And to see Derek Barnett, especially on, you know, a team that's trying to climb their way back into prestige, University of Tennessee. And think about at LSU, LSU isn't in that championship series. The kid out at Stanford, McCaffrey.
I'm so disappointed
in
them.
They're not in that championship series.
No, they're not.
You know what? Derek Barnett isn't either. But guess what he said? Hey, tonight is a money night, and I'm going to go out there and work my way up. I'm going to earn it up into that, top part of that draft. And that's what I love, man.
Do you believe like I believe that he'll be a fine player at the next level?
Yeah, I do, and here's why. Sometimes, especially nowadays, because there's so much 11 personnel for the listeners. That's one back, one tight end, which leaves you three wide receivers. So, it's basically a passing, personnel grouping on the field. Well, what happens is, a lot of these guys end up, learning the game kind of one way, like we're talking earlier. So Derek Barnett ends up for 3-4 years, primarily a pass rusher. So, then you have some guys that can do both. And that to me is where Derek Barnett, I think, is going to make his money, because he still is a two-way player. He has enough to give you, a pass rush. He's also heavy enough to hold down edge runs, and he can, line up against a 320 pound tackle. And if you line him up, too much in, 11 personnel, against a tackle, then, he's so quick that tackle is going to be, he has no help from the tight end.
Hey, Rog, Jerry's getting too technical.
Yeah.
Jerry's getting too technical.
Yeah.
And Florida State, it makes me sick. And Rog, one other thing for you. Describe to Jerry, what would you say was more intense tonight? Derek Barnett's play and the way he went after the quarterback.
Damn it.
Or the way you went after that plate of super nachos. Rog, I've never seen a guy attack a plate of super nachos like you did tonight.
Yeah, I know. That's crazy about it, Tommy, buddy. That's crazy about it. Russell, how was the, I'm going to tell you one and I, and Tony, I just want to tell you, I agree with you about the, I heard you say a while ago about the injuries I agree with you, Tony, about injuries, especially if you get key positions, you know, Tony, hurt, you know, like, can affect your team a little bit. So, I was going to tell you that injuries can affect it a little bit. So, and, I also just want to ask y'all about, I know Michigan is right now, I know tomorrow, you got Washington playing Alabama tomorrow. What chances of Alabama, I mean, Washington, what does Washington have to do, Jerry, to, Washington have to be able to stay, that's my friend is,
Can I ask you something,
yeah.
Rog? Do you play?
What's that?
Do you want Alabama to win tomorrow?
No, of course not.
Roger, I love you. Thank you, buddy.
Okay.
God bless, man.
Okay.
What they have to do, you have to pray for them.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. You have to pray for them, because I'm telling you, they need prayer, because they're getting rocked. They're going to get run tomorrow. Michigan just blocked an extra point of Florida State. It's a one-point game. These two teams in a so-called meaningless bowl game, Russell, are putting on an awesome show. This is an awesome show down the stretch in this game. Am I lying, Russell?
I still think Florida State's got this in the bag. I mean, even if Michigan can get an onside, or I guess they wouldn't get an onside kick, they would. I mean, they've got to go a long
45
way.
45 yards in 38 seconds with three timeouts. It's very doable. In college football?
I guess so.
In college football? Yeah. They return the extra point for two. That is awesome, dude. I love returning extra points for two. And they're getting the ball back down 33-32, 36 seconds left. Field goal wins a thing. Jerry, these are two. It wasn't supposed to matter, right? Hey, don't tell these kids to sit it out. Don't tell these kids to sit it out.
Well, you know what I thought has happened, Tony, and it's been a huge frustration of mine is I thought that the selection of the games of the two teams in these games have been horrible over the last few years. I thought this year they hit a home run. Especially when you start getting to the top of the bowl hierarchy, if you will, minus the four teams
in the playoffs.
Couldn't agree more.
And that is exactly what you want. And I was even thinking this. Wouldn't it be a great idea for these non-playoff games to every now and then I would go, hey, this game is going to be a home game for this team. The higher-ranked team gets the game. Maybe 30% of the tickets goes to the other school. I mean, because I was thinking about tonight as I'm watching Nebraska and Tennessee is that was great atmosphere. I mean, why couldn't they do that other places? Go, hey, we're going to reward, you know, the higher-ranked team one more home game. The other team gets 30,000 tickets. Just to make it exciting instead of these crazy neutral sites, which to me, I don't even know if that all makes it all.
What are you doing, Michigan? Throw the ball behind the line of scrimmage.
Call your timeout!
Good night! Let's go back to the phones. 865-200-5402. To our next call, we go Smartway Garza Law Firm, fifth quarter fan reaction. That guy hung up. Let's get our next one in. Hello.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air. Welcome.
You got me.
Go right ahead.
I watched the game with Jerry today.
Oh, awesome, man. So you're in the great Northwest?
Absolutely. And I had to make a comment because, I mean, you guys were talking about people in Seattle and they're not being very aggressive. You haven't watched the Seahawks or the 12, if you believe that.
Talk to Amanda. Keep going, baby.
Keep going, man. hey, educate me.
The 12. The 12 is what we call the fans here that root for the Seattle Seahawks. And the 12 are the craziest people you have ever seen in your life and the loudest. I mean, you hear them probably, Jerry, how many miles from the stadium can you hear them? At least halfway through downtown.
Yep.
Okay, that's okay. I realize you guys have always had, look, I'm an old North American Soccer League fan. The Seattle Sounders in the old Kingdom had great loud fans. Not the Sounders of today. I'm talking about the Sounders of yesteryear. I could pull you a media guide out from 1978 and I could hold up and show you the old Kingdom. Maybe one night on Periscope we'll do a show and tell of all my really moronic trinkets I have. But my point is that y'all out there, if a fight breaks out, people start yelling, safe space, safe space. In Nissan Stadium today, the guy that looked like Hacksaw Jim Duggan, minus the 2x4, was laying some haymakers in there. There was no safe space.
And Florida State just got the ball and knelt
down. Don't you hate that?
Actually, the last thing I said to Jerry as I was leaving was, who do you think is going to win this game? And what did you say, Jerry?
Jerry, what did you say? Who's going to win the game, Jerry? Florida State. Don't go to sleep on your friend, Jerry. Pay attention, Jerry. Stay engaged, Jerry. Safe space, Jerry. Nason Iodine, Jerry. Diamond Gusset Jeans, Jerry. Alex Jones, Jerry.
Well, I need to take two of these up.
Don't psyops him. Don't psyops him, Jerry. What did Jerry say to you?
Jerry said, eventually it'll be FSU. And he was perfectly correct.
I hail Michigan for playing those guys an awesome game. Hail to Michigan.
Yeah, it was a great
game. That's an awesome football game.
And Tennessee's game today was great. I mean, I have to say that. I watched Derek Barnett, and I was telling Jerry, I sat with Reggie White's family in his last bowl game in New Jersey.
Wow.
I'm a big fan of the way Reggie White played football and always was. At Tennessee, he was super. And Derek Barnett,
is every bit the player. I mean, he's an excellent football player.
You know, Reg will always be special to me because he was a Philadelphia Eagle. And I was sharing a story today that you guys will appreciate this. There's the kind of guy Reggie White was. I was talking to Keith Jackson one time. You guys familiar with Keith Jackson, who played at Oklahoma, played tight end at Oklahoma?
The Packers.
Oklahoma Sooner.
There you go. And he played for the Packers. That's right. He finished up there. I think he... Did he win a world championship with Reggie there with the Packers?
I think he was on that 97 Super Bowl team.
Okay. Anyway, Keith was telling me one time, because Keith worked as Arkansas's color guy for a long time. He might still be doing that. I don't know. We got to talking one day about Reggie White. And I said, you know, I was in that city when he got there, and it was just incredible. And, you know, the impact that he had, and nobody could deny just how great he was and how good of a person and good of a spirit he was and the spiritual impact he had on that team and all that. He was just an incredible leader. He said, Tony, you don't know a quarter of it. He said, let me tell you how great Reggie White was. He said, not only was Reggie White an incredible player, but he would take several thousand dollars in $100 bills, and we would go on the road. And he would go into the inner city, and as he felt led, he would go door to door. Here, this is to help you pay your light bill. This is for whatever. This is for the... He said, I've never seen anything like it. Like, never. Since... before, he said, and it had a tremendous impact on that whole team. So it's interesting you'd bring Reggie White up tonight on the night when Barnett breaks his record. I just wanted to share that story with you. But anything else from the Great Northwest? And I appreciate you being there.
No, it was a great game today.
Look, anytime you get to hang out with Jerry Colquitt, brother, and watch the Vols play.
Hey, we hung out the other day on a farm.
Well.
You can ask.
Tell him, Andy. Go ahead.
Did you guys share some mescaline that night?
No.
Okay.
I have thoroughbred racehorses and
what?
Yeah.
You got money?
No, don't hear me.
Hit the tip jar, Andy. I'll be looking for your name later.
I have no money.
Hey, Andy, Andy, thank you, man. Hey, Happy New Year to you. I hope all your horses win.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I hope they
very helpful for that.
Thank you, brother. I hope they do better than that one from Florida State tonight. He's going to need the glue gun. Take care, Andy. Yes, Jerry.
Man, I got to give some love to Andy there, man. Andy Mack Evans. His real name is Evans, but I'm going to call him Andy Mack. Andy Mack Evans. Man, he showed us some love the other day. He took, Abe and I down there, got to meet his racehorses, got to see the whole program, how they start to integrate these horses into a training program, you know, starting next month.
Can I ask
all
you,
the way through April, man? I mean, that was sweet, man. Thank you, Andy. We appreciate that.
Andy, thank you. Did he take Ava, your daughter, down there?
Yeah, we both went.
She is so precious. I love her. Jerry, did you see the end of that game? Anybody see the end of that game just now? Because I was telling the Reggie White story, and I didn't want to soil it with this. That Harbaugh guy, to say he's wound up tightly, he makes Butch Jones look like Jimmy Buffett. Okay? Butch Jones is in Margaritaville compared to that kook. That guy, that's why he can't stay in one place too long.
He's not going to sit out there and watch those jive turkeys celebrate.
Time out. He walks over to Redneck Mick Jagger, a.k.a. Jimbo Fisher, Fat Redneck Mick Jagger, and he touches his hand. He doesn't shake his hand. He touches his hand, and he turns around and runs out of there like they're shooting at him. He is... And no doubt, we'll bitch about the officiating when the game's over. He makes Butch Jones look laid back.
He's got a high motor.
Redneck Mick Jagger. That's the guy at Florida State.
Jimbo Harbaugh.
Wow. Would you take
Wolverine.
Would you take Jimbo Fisher over Butch Jones? Yes or no?
What are you doing?
Would you?
Of course. Guy's got a ring.
That guy had Jameis Winston. That's why he has a ring. Get real.
Guy's a developer of quarterbacks. He's a play caller. He's
that guy is a recruiter, and they lay out the cash on the recruiting
coach.
Trail. Get real.
Well, I mean, coach circles around Butch Jones. If you would prefer, and this is not meant to be rude or ugly towards Butch Jones, but
right.
If you prefer Butch Jones over Jimbo Fisher.
I didn't say that. I asked you if you did.
I mean, you're dumber than a bag of hammers.
Back to the phones we go. Smartway Garza Law Firm, fifth quarter fan reaction. And Jerry just referred to me as Wolverine, and I don't answer to that, Jerry. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome in.
Hello, Tony. This is Mike, and I'm sorry I missed you this evening.
Mike, I'm sorry you missed me. We had a really fun time. It was incredible. Andy Mack.
Well, if you establish... I've got a question for you.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Jerry, where can I pick up some of that iodine that you're referring, that Tony's been referring to? Is that a product that you order online, or is that something I can get at Eddie's Health Shop?
You can get on the InfoWars store online.
Oh.
What is it? What's it called, Jerry? What's the store called?
InfoWars.com.
Jerry.
You are the resistance.
What did you say? Did he just say you?
You are the resistance.
Hey, so, Alan, Mike, are you going to be visiting the InfoWars store?
I'm going to browse through it. I want to check this out. I do take an iodine product.
Do you really?
I take atomic iodine every day.
Does it work?
Well, it does.
Still alive, isn't he?
Yep. I am still alive. I feel great. You know, Tony, we see each other all the time, you know.
You look awesome.
Thank you.
You look like...
Must be the iodine.
You look like Sheamus. Sheamus from WWE with a really good tan.
That's what a lot of people have said, Tony,
yes.
And I take that as a compliment.
You sound like you have a cold, by the way.
I do. I can't shake it. And I'm going to... I was going to do the Daily Double. I really wanted to go to this game tonight, and I was going to go see Widespread Panic tomorrow in Nashville. I could have done the Daily Double.
Are you doing it?
Unfortunately. I'm going tomorrow, but I would have loved to have been in Nashville tonight and celebrate the Big Orange winning the Big Music City Bowl. So I'm trying to shake this cold.
Have fun at the Panic Show. And
I will.
Don't eat anything off a tab, okay?
Don't eat the brown acid.
I won't.
Thank you, brother. Love you.
Hey, one more question.
Go ahead.
Jerry? Do you have any other products that you could endorse or that you endorse?
Yeah, I tell you what.
For Vitality.
For Vitality, well, Jerry.
Well, I haven't been taking that one as long. Just got that one. But
Jerry?
The Supermeal Vitality.
But no, he was asking you for Vitality. Do you have anything else that you suggest for Vitality?
No, I mean, you got Coenzyme Q10, which, I mean, you know, when you're talking Vitality, as all the fellas know what we're talking about.
What's a Q10 do, Jerry?
Sounds like that'll put a little lead in your pencil.
I don't need that. I need a little less lead in mine.
That problem is all about blood flow. So, you know, that's the thing that's going to dilate, you know, blood vessels. So on and so forth. So, I mean, that's where you want to go
with
that.
What have we turned? Mike, thank you for your call. Have fun at your show tomorrow night. Love you. Wow. I think we've been on too long. Go ahead, Jerry, and then we'll get our next call in here.
That caller was sick, man. Like, if he's still listening, go get you some colloidal silver. This is what people used to take before antibiotics even existed.
Yep.
And I swear to you, if you get on it,
do it fast, whatever your duration of sickness is, man, it'll chop that thing right in half. So if you can't get to wherever you need to go before you get to that concert, stop through a GNC somewhere, get you some Colloidal Silver, you'd be good to go, baby.
So we're taking donations on our PayPal, on our account tonight. And if you need some, you pull some out for you. We're on the honor system. Just go to TonyBasilio.com and see more. We appreciate being here, but really not that much.
You like this, how they're having like a Super Bowl style ceremony and presentation for winning the Orange Bowl? Did Tennessee get one of those for winning the Music City Bowl championship today?
Actually did. They had a on-field presentation.
Brought out the stage and
sure.
T-shirts and hats.
An on-field presentation, sure.
Okay.
Yep.
What
are you throwing shade on what we happened? What happened?
I'm throwing shade on the whole system, man. I mean, Nick Saban's right. The college football has made these games, I won't say irrelevant, but lesser. And it just seems a little bit silly to have Buck Stinson, the Capital One
pretend.
Vice Chairman up here, presenting Jimbo Fisher with a bowl of oranges for winning a game that doesn't matter.
Now, this is actually, this is the Capital One Bowl, isn't it? This is the Orange Bowl.
No, Capital One, this is the Orange Bowl. Capital One used to sponsor the Citrus Bowl, which became the Capital One Bowl, but now they've moved on to sponsor the Orange Bowl.
Sugar.
Formerly the FedEx Orange Bowl.
Bring back the damn Blue Bonnet Bowl on New Year's Eve. That's what I say. Mark Herman and the Purdue Boilermakers on Ms. Lou with the Isolite.
I like how they've turned Joe Robbie Stadium into like a soccer stadium now with that roof, expecting Chelsea and Man United to come out or something.
I'm in mass favor of that because Jerry now watches soccer. Soccer's taken over. Let's get our next call in. Welcome to the show. Hello.
Hey, Jerry, it's JJ. Do you like to mix in, the hawthorn berries with the L-arginine, the arginine?
Especially like right before a workout. If I'm going to hit it hard, do some road work or get on that treadmill, or, you know, if I'm trying to get swole all up in the chest or in the shoulders and I want to, you know, go straight to, the club right after. Yes, sir. I'm going to take me some berries with some L-arginine so I give me some dilation. In my blood before I hit the gym.
I'm gonna get me some dilation here in about 15 minutes.
What about as an antioxidant, like a cold preventative, the raw garlic and then a little bit of the Neosporin around your nasal cavity to when you're breathing in that Neosporin kills the bacteria.
Well, here's the thing about the Neosporin. It is an antibiotic, so you don't want to overuse that. I mean, you only want to use that, if you have suspected or confirmed, you know, bacterial infection.
Jerry, you're pissing me off.
What if I have one ashy knee?
JJ?
Neosporin to keep it.
JJ, I got your Neosporin, brah, right there.
Can Neosporin give me extra vitality?
Jerry, are you watching Periscope right now?
Man, Tony, I'm sitting in my living room right now. The TV is off. Only thing I'm watching, you know what Elysian is?
Elysian?
Yeah, Elysian's a local brewery.
Like a sore you have? Like a lesion on your skin?
Yeah, and I'm looking at this Elysian beer bottle that I've been sipping since I got home. But you'd be proud of it. Hey, I'm still on the same beer bottle that I was on when I first got home, so I'm doing pretty good.
Well,
that's not going to go well with the liver shield, Jerry.
Let's go back to our phones and get our final call, unfortunately, of the
night. Liver shield is under assault.
Final call of the night, Smartway Garza Law Firm, fifth quarter fan reaction. Why are we doing this? Jerry, hello and welcome.
Hey, Tony.
That's why we're doing this. That's why we're doing this. That's why we're doing this.
Hey, Tony.
To talk to the Jaker.
I'm glad you brought up the Blue Bonnet Bowl.
You better believe it.
I got a great story for you. And, Jerry, I think you'll like this. When I was about a freshman in high school. Me and my late great best friend, we were
we went to a poker game. It was on New Year's Eve. It snowed like hell. And we watched that Blue Bonnet Bowl game, Tony. Burt Jones against Condridge Holloway. LSU against Tennessee. You know, now you'd never see two SEC schools playing in a game, in a bowl game against each other. And that was one of the greatest football games. Or let me put it this way, one of the most enjoyable football games I ever watched in my life.
And it was played on New Year's Eve. It was the Blue Bonnet Bowl, brah. It was the last thing that happened before Dick Clark jumped or, what was the neck on the bike back in the 70s? The redneck.
Evel Knievel?
Yeah, before he did something stupid.
It was the last thing that happened before I came in after my 12 o'clock curfew. My old man jumped on me, started kicking me.
Exactly. It was the last thing that happened before your old man came in and started kicking you. It's not like you had an Italian upbringing.
Yeah. But, hey, guys, here's what I want to know. Here's what I think we need to have happen to this football program. We need to get David Blackburn hired. And he needs to try to help Butch Jones. And I'm not saying fire Butch Jones. But wasn't there a cartoon or something where like a mother robin takes the baby robin and throws it out of the nest to see if it can fly?
What was that called? What was that cartoon called? When the mother robin threw the baby robin out of the nest to see if it could fly?
I can't remember.
Looney Tunes?
What was it, Jerry?
Looney Tunes?
That sums us up.
Hey, I think that's what Butchie Boy needs. I think he needs David Blackburn to try to help him. And then take him. Jerry, I love your laugh. You got the best laugh ever. But David Blackburn needs to try to help him. And then throw him out of the nest and see if he can fly or if he's going to sink to the ground.
Well,
and throw him out from the highest tree you can find.
Now that's not nice. What if he falls?
Hey, he'll have the money to get fixed up.
and he'll have a kind of a witch doctor on call in Jerry Colquitt who can hook him up with all the product to get him at the InfoWars store to get him. And if he wears the right jeans, have the diamond gusset. What are the diamond gusset jeans, Jerry? Tell the living listener what they are.
And the diamond in the crotch where you need it most.
And you see, that way you protect your junk. And so you won't need as much Neosporin. And what was those herbs or whatever that make your blood dilate? What was it, Jerry?
The L-arginine, Tony.
So you rub that all over your midsection, and you put the diamond gusset jeans on. You stand out in the crowd. Family jewelry and whatnot.
Hey, Jerry, I love hearing you on here, man. You're the one of the best guests that Tony ever has on here. You're great.
Oh, man, thank you. You know what? I think the most fun I've had this season was that day Tony was nice enough. Wasn't, you know, nice all the other times I came on, but he was nice enough that day to let me on with Coach Jerry Glanville. That was so much fun. Man, that was probably one of the highlights of my post-playing career as far as,
what?
You know, coaching. When I scouted with Seattle for 2 years, with David Cutcliffe down at Ole Miss for a short stint, to get on there and just chop it up with him, man. And you know what? It kind of boosted my ego. I kind of felt like, yeah, Jerry Glanville and I are homeboys now.
Do you know what Jerry Glanville told me about you, seriously, after we were done? He said, that guy is super, and I mean super sharp, and he does not impress easily. He said, that guy knows what he's talking about. He said, hold on to him.
You can tell that.
He really did.
I'm not a football expert, but I can tell that Jerry knows his football. And Jerry, if it's none of my business, tell me, why did you get out of coaching?
It wasn't our choice. It was 2003. It was weird. We had the same record as we had in 1999. We won a division at 9-7. In 2003, we were 9-7, but we didn't win the division. With that record, 9-7 wasn't even going to get you a wild card. So, that was the third straight season we didn't make the playoffs. So they fired half the staff.
But you could have gotten another job, Jerry. You could have gone back to college football. His question is, why'd you get out of it?
Yeah, well, it was. I had interviews with Cleveland, Minnesota with Mike Tyson, and I interviewed with the Cardinals because I believe that was when who's the guy that was at Tennessee with Lovie Smith, Larry Marmee. When Larry Marmee, I think he was a defense coordinator there at the Cardinals. So after interviews, I came down to the last couple of guys that were chosen. They chose somebody else. And that's pretty much how that deal works. But I mean, even the next year, you come back and, you know, you try all over again. And, I could have gone to college, but for me, I felt like I'd done, there were certain schools I would have gone to. Yeah. If I would have gotten a college offer, but I didn't want to start.
Yep. You got to climb that ladder.
In that college scene. So, you know, if it wasn't at, say, Washington State, Oregon State, something like that, that was local, especially at that time, you know, having a daughter, and all, it just didn't make sense for me. So, I'm here on the Tony Vecilio show.
Hey, Jerry, I appreciate you sharing that with me, and y'all have a great night.
Jaker, thank you. Keep up the good fight. Dubsy, give me a final thought on the way out. Jerry, give me a final thought on the way out on what we saw today. Wrap it up for me, babe.
You know, I want to tell Josh Dobbs, man, thank you so much. This guy has given us so many memories. And when it wasn't coached perfectly, when the game wasn't played perfectly, you know, by our offense, think how many plays this guy made, Tony, over the last 3 years and some of the biggest stages in recent Tennessee history. And it was because this guy was a gamer. He wasn't a prolific passer necessarily, and didn't play in a what I would call traditional pro style offense. But he just went out there and made it. And it was like he didn't care. It was like he loved that school so much he didn't care. All he wanted to do was win, and that was what I loved about what he brought us for the last 3 years. And man, I totally appreciate it. And what I'd rather than play that game in Nashville for him and Derek Barnett to go out like that, in front of their home fans than to be stuck somewhere doggone, Tampa Bay or something like that where like half of the stadium is empty. Like, I'm glad they played that game when I think about it, you know, hindsight here. I'm glad that game, their last game, you know, the guys that have played the hardest for the last 3-4 years, Derek Barnett, Josh Jobs, on a consistent basis. They got to finish right there in their home state, man, right in front of those fans. So to me, that was what I was thinking about today. And just, you know, those two guys' careers just over, the last 3 years. And, I'd rather us finish that game than let's go to Atlanta and get whooped by Alabama. I mean, we finished our season on our terms. So I like that, what I saw today.
Jerry, you pump me up. You excite me. You thrill me. You are an awesome individual. It's a complete blessing having you on here. My best to you and Ava, and you keep being a life giver to her, man. Appreciate you being there, brother. Thanks for all you do for us.
Oh yeah, man. I'm extremely proud member of the Tony Vecilio show. What going on? I think this is my fourth or fifth season.
That's insane, Jerry. On the way out. Well, let me throw this at you before, not mean to cut you off, that's my Italian-ness, but I love you. Who wins the playoff games tomorrow, Jerry? Go. And I want the scores. I want scores. I want, like, point spreads.
I'm going Bama. I'm going 45-27.
Yep, blowout.
The next game, Clemson, Ohio State, I'm going Clemson. 38, I'm going to Ohio State, 13.
I agree with that.
Straight up whooping.
It's going to be an ass kicking of epic proportions. Ohio State's terrible offensively. That kid at quarterback from Ohio State cannot play. I agree with you.
There's two better teams, clearly, than Ohio State in that conference that are not in that championship game. So I feel like they're about to get a beatdown tomorrow, Tony.
They have no business being there.
I'll keep covering Washington as long as they keep playing. How about that?
I hope
come back next week.
You tell all your friends there that represent, what do they call themselves? The Golden Blue? What do they call themselves there? Their nation?
Maybe Husky Nation?
Husky Nation.
Dog Pound or something like that.
Dog Pound. You tell those people that there are a ton of Tennessee fans. And everybody in SEC country, and they will find this hard to believe, but everybody in SEC country is jocking them tonight. Everybody's cheering for them. When that ball kicks off tomorrow, everybody outside of those inbreds in Bama Nation are in there with them. Do you not think that's true, Russell? Everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody.
We're all Husky Nation tomorrow.
Everybody. Jerry, I want you to spread that word. Also tell them you come into an SEC stadium, there's no such thing as a safe zone. You can't yell safe zone when you're getting beat up. What do they yell, Jerry? What is it?
Hate speech.
Hate speech.
It's interesting you say that because all the last 2 weeks on local radio, they mock us people from down south. And, I respect Alabama, but just by the nature of them making fun of us this whole way, I kind of turned on how I feel about this game. I hope Alabama whoops their behind, Tony. Because to me, it's just a total show of difference.
I could see that. If you're there, I could see that. If you're there, it's a totally different thing. Let me give you some perspective, though. You are cheering for the Soviet Union. Have at it, brother. Love you. Take care.
All right, home. See you.
Hey, listen, I'm thinking about doing a playoff Periscope tomorrow night after the playoffs, and because it's going to be the start of a regional thing that I'm thinking about doing, so I'll tell you more about that later. I'm really thinking about it. So check me tomorrow, and I'm really thinking about doing it. But I'm going to need people to go online and spread the word, Thunderbird, and what's the price, 40 twice. And I also need you to hit me up because we haven't gotten many donations tonight and y'all are pissing me off. Dubsy, tell the living listener, because I'm not going to do that for nothing. I mean, I love you. You're all my peeps. You are my peeps. I'm back here for sure Tuesday, Monday at 11 Eastern time. Check the blog Monday morning. We love you. Dubsy, tell the living listener where they can find you.
I'm on Twitter. Follow me there, at Russell the Drive. Do a weekday talk show from 3 to 6 in the afternoon on Fox Sports Knoxville, 1340 a.m. here in town, online at foxsportsknoxville.com. It's called The Drive. It's on from 3 to 6 weekdays.
Dubsy, I absolutely love you, man.
Thanks for letting me do this, dude.
I'm proud of you. You're an incredible guy. You're a great family man. You've been a great friend. You've been loyal to me. You've been super great to me. You're going to have a line with Terry Fair when he comes back. You're getting ready to get some good information. What are the chances Terry Fair comes back on the staff? Gauge us.
I'd say it's over 50-50. Because I think Martinez is... I think he's going to leave or be forced out. I could be wrong, but that's what I've been hearing.
He's gone.
He's done.
Yeah, he's gone.
And I think they like... It's interesting because I think they like Terry to coach the corners, and I think Shoup is going to kind of handle the safeties because that's his deal. And I think they really miss Terry's ability in recruiting, most of all. So I think it's a...
Did Terry have a hand in getting Williams out there to Colorado Springs?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that was Terry's deal. And, a lot of people don't know this, but, Terry was a quality control guy, so he couldn't recruit off campus, but... If Terry had stuck around here and if he had been a full-time assistant, Dory Jackson, that kid who played at USC both two ways.
Would have been here?
He would have been here, yeah.
Oh, sugar.
Kid loved T-Fair.
I'll say this about Terry Fair and my dealings with him and getting to know him through you. That is one dynamic, intelligent person of character. That guy is a guy that loves this place. He loves his family. He is a champion.